The Jordan Cove Liquefied Natural Gas Shipping Terminal at North Bend is still only conceptual. It started as an import terminal with pipeline to put natural gas into the American system. Then American gas and oil production took off, and the Jordan Cove plan turned into an export terminal to sell liquefied natural gas overseas. It was that plan that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, considered and rejected last year. That gave anti-LNG people something to celebrate. Then Donald Trump got elected president, and the regulatory environment did a 180. So the plans for Jordan Cove and the 230-mile Pacific Connector gas pipeline have been resubmitted to FERC. This and next Wednesday, you'll hear the opinions. This week, the no LNG side. We have four guests with us, two in the studio. Stacy Detweiler is with Rogue Riverkeeper. Stacy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Sid Browning is with Southern Oregon Rising Tide. Hi, Sid.
Hello.
Susan Jane Brown joins us once again from the Western Environmental Law Center by phone. Hi, Susan Jane.
Good morning.
And Don Gentry is with us, the chair of the Klamath Tribes. Thank you for joining us, Don.
Sure. Good to be here. Thanks.
Let's start with you, Don, and let's have everybody go around in turn. I mean, there are numbers of different reasons that people have for opposing it. What is the position of the Klamath Tribes?
Well, we have a number of concerns. We've expressed those pretty clearly in our comment letter into the EIS process. Initially, I mean, what's really obvious and of grave concern to our tribal members is the fact that the pipeline slated to go through our historic Aboriginal territory. And what we know about the proposed route, it's going to be routed through areas where we have a very high likelihood of disturbing human remains associated with village sites along the Klamath River and other places throughout the proposed route. This is a real concern of ours, where it's proposed to go south of Klamath Falls. It's coming through a historic village area that our people have occupied. Historic information places us here over 15,000 years. You know, it seems like every time there's some kind of ground-disturbing activity in the area, that human remains are disturbed. And I myself have experienced a reburial when Highway 97 bridge was that goes over the Klamath River, and the highway there was widened. Human remains from numerous individuals were basically spread on the top of the ground, through the activities, and the tribes had a reburial that was really a difficult time for us. And so that's a very significant concern. But we're also concerned about the risks to the environment, risks to the river, and associated fisheries and resources that are of concern to the tribes in the exercise of our treaty rights. And also, our folks, our native people, throughout this nation, we're always reminded through our traditions, our legends, our stories, and our people that we need to be looking out for the generations to come. And this seeming 180 turn on that the current administration is going through right now, turning away from more sustainable energy and moving back towards fossil fuels and uses, we're very concerned about the impacts on the planet and how that may affect the Klamath tribes and our ability to harvest resources. We're concerned about the impact on the forest, on the watershed, and on water itself that's necessary for life.
Right.
So that's just a summary of the main issues that we've raised and we're concerned about.
Sid Browning at Southern Oregon Rising Tide, anything your group can add to that list of concerns?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've seen in the past few months are massive superstorms. You have Harvey, Irma, and Maria, and those are hitting right after each other. And then also one of the worst wildfire seasons in the Northwest and the West Coast in recent history. And we know that climate crisis is what makes these things worse. It makes these storms worse. It makes wildfires worse. And so it's undeniable that we are heading into almost running into a climate crisis, and we can't afford to lock ourselves into an outdated industry and an outdated infrastructure of liquefied natural gas of this export terminal for the next 20 years. And it's really time for our leaders, especially Kate Brown, who has portrayed herself as someone who is pro the environment, who just signed the Paris Climate Accord along with governors from Washington and California, and is going to the climate talks in Germany in a few weeks. It's time for them to take a stand against this pipeline, that these leaders cannot be both for the environment and say that we need to take a stand against extraction industries and not come out against this pipeline.
Susan Jane Brown at Western Environmental Law Center, what are the particular reasons that your group takes on this?
Well, we represent a number of organizations and landowners against this project, and so my client's interests range from the interests that Don was talking about, the tribal resources, and we also have clients who are conservation organizations who are concerned about impacts to clean water, old growth forests, endangered species habitat, that sort of thing. And Sid also mentioned the wildfire season that we've had this year. The Jordan Cove pipeline Pacific Connector pipeline would cross that landscape that is at risk of fire. And we think that placing a pressurized pipeline, large pipeline, in that landscape is a very dangerous thing to do. So we have a number of concerns and really do encourage Kate Brown to use her authorities as she can as governor to take a really hard look at this project and to make sure that it is does indeed protect Oregonians and their access to clean water and clean air and a healthful climate. And based on the past two iterations of this project, we think that it is clear that this project will not do that. And so we are looking for the governor and other state and federal agencies to take a hard look at this project and to use their authorities to make sure that that Oregonians' interests are protected.
And Stacy Detweiler with Rogue Riverkeeper, what can your group add to the concerns about the LNG pipeline and terminal?
Yeah, thanks. So we're a nonprofit organization based here in Jackson County, and we really work to protect and restore clean water and native fish in the waters of the Rogue. And I think we're really lucky here in Southern Oregon. We live in a beautiful place. We have these wonderful rivers like the Rogue, forests, mountains, coastlines, and that's really part of why we love where we live. And I think we're really concerned about this pipeline, 230-plus-mile pipeline that would kind of cross the southwestern corner of the state, cross the Rogue River, across the Klamath, the Umpqua, many of our beautiful rivers here, putting potentially clean water and fish at risk, as Chairman Gentry mentioned. And, you know, that's our real concern, is those impacts to clean water, public health and safety, fish. And we think that there's a real opportunity for Governor Brown to stand up for Oregonians. You know, there's a lot of potential for ensuring that our state agencies conduct a really comprehensive environmental review so that we all understand the potential impacts of this project. And, you know, she has the potential to even challenge this project as it moves forward, really standing up for our communities and the potential impacts this project could have.
There is a gas pipeline already, albeit a smaller pipeline that does cross the Rogue River somewhere near Grants Pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, why is this pipeline an issue where that one is not anymore anyway?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the scale is a little bit different. Certainly, crossing of our rivers is a huge impact. We're talking about impacts to stream temperature, the construction of the pipeline, creating barriers to fish passage, removing vegetation along the sides of streams. All those impacts, in addition to everything else, just the size of the pipeline, and then the construction of the terminal as well, and those impacts to Coos Bay, the communities that are there, and the commercial fisheries that exist as well.
All right. I want to make clear, too, that the pipeline will not, if it's built, carry LNG. It'll carry NG, and the L will take place at the terminal in Coos Bay.
Yes.
Or in North Bend. We're talking about the LNG, or the pipeline and the LNG export terminal proposed for North Bend under the name Jordan Cove and Pacific Connector Gas Pipeline with Stacy Detweiler from Rogue Riverkeeper, Sid Browning from Southern Oregon Rising Tide, Susan Jane Brown from the Western Environmental Law Center, and Don Gentry from the Klamath Tribes. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Your thoughts welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. We will hear from Michael Heinrichs who's obviously pro-pipeline. He works for one of the companies involved next week at this time. Don Gentry, I want to come back to what's been mentioned a couple times now about getting political figures to take a stand on this. The governor and both U.S. senators have taken a bit of a hands-off approach. I wonder if you've had conversations with them about trying to get them to change their minds one way or the other.
Well, I've had conversations with them. You know, we do have a fairly positive relationship with Governor Brown and our senators Merkley and Wyden, and developing relationship with Congressman Walden and others. You know, we've been working together, kind of focused on Klamath Basin treaty rights and fisheries restoration and water issues. You know, I have discussed these issues with them and participated in, you know, town hall meetings, you know, where the questions were asked. And in fact, when folks encouraged our senators, Oregon senators, to take a stand, and they've basically focused on the process, you know, that they need to go through the regulatory process and the EIS process. And even
the comment from Senator Ron Wyden when I talked to him last week was he didn't want to put a thumb on the scale. That's his usual retort.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm not sure what all they could do in terms of opposition, but I believe that they're just supporting, you know, going through the regulatory process, and that that should. You know, maybe if it's not a feasible project, I think, well, I haven't heard that from their mouth, but I think that's the leaning. I do know that they did weigh in when the administration, kind of high up, basically an individual, made it sound like we're going to make this happen. You know, they felt like the, you know, that the administration was failing to recognize that there's administrative process, and you just can't from that executive branch make a decision to move this forward. So I did see him weigh in on that. And I know they have concerns about, you know, the impacts of fossil fuels and greenhouse gases on global warming. So, and I know that's true. And I know Oregon has a regulatory process and even laws about, you know, an impact on greenhouse gases emissions. So, But I never got a real commitment that, hey, we're going to oppose this this project. But I do believe they have concerns, and they've expressed that. It seems like they're just relying upon the regulatory and permitting process.
All right. Susan Jane Brown, is there any doubt in your mind that one way or the other that this application would or would not have been resubmitted without Donald Trump in the White House?
Well, I think that's a good question. You know, the proponents of this project certainly have shown themselves to be committed. You know, this is the third application that the company has submitted, this time for export. And so clearly they've invested quite a large sum of money into this project, and I could see it from an investor standpoint why you would want to continue to move that forward. But FERC has been pretty clear, and it was very clear when they rejected the application for export the second go-around, that there were significant environmental concerns, and particularly concerns with the use, what would be the required large-scale use of eminent domain to condemn private property in order to build the pipeline. And FERC pointed that out as one of the key reasons that they denied this project last time. And nothing has changed since then. This project still requires access to hundreds of private landowners' property and would permanently embed a pipeline on those private landowners' property. And that's something that has not changed with this project. And landowners remain united and committed against this project. And so I think that it will still be an uphill climb for the project proponents to demonstrate that this project is, in fact, in the public interest. I think that pipeline and project backers are probably emboldened with the new president. But I think that just because you have a new president doesn't mean that the law has changed until they change the law. And so far, our laws remain the same, and the concerns that FERC expressed the last time in denying the project application remain the same. And so we will do we'll do this all again for a third time. And hopefully, given the very powerful coalition and alliances we've built over the past more than decade fighting this project will triumph this time around.
We're talking about the Jordan Cove Liquefied Natural Gas Export Terminal planned for North Bend and the 232-mile Pacific Connector gas pipeline to run to it with Susan Jane Brown of the Western Environmental Law Center, Don Gentry from the Klamath Tribe, Sid Browning from Southern Oregon Rising Tide, and Stacy Detweiler from Rogue River Keeper. These are all anti-LNG viewpoints. We will have the pro-LNG viewpoint in 1 week. You can join the conversation right now at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Jay in Ashland. Welcome to the exchange.
Yes, hello. I worked in the power industry, and I want to make a couple of points. The high risk involved for the possibility of a cascade quake or obviously the fires that we've had, and the size of the pipeline and a strategy to require insurance that would not be... If you don't have shutoff valves that have independent power, not to mention the compressed plant on the coast, the risk to the environment and people's livelihood and all that is over the top. And I'm encouraging you to approach that strategy to legally require that they insure it. Now I'm nervous as heck, so I'm going to stop.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate the call. And I'm going to ask Sid Browning to take this on from Southern Oregon Rising Tide and roll this into another email from SUNY, who expands it from earthquakes to earthquakes and tsunami.
Mm-hmm. So definitely the earthquakes and the potential for the Cascade earthquake is a major problem for this pipeline. And also the risk of tsunami, and where the export terminal is definitely within a tsunami zone in North Bend. I think the important thing to remember is that we're not focusing on, at least Southern Oregon Rising Tide and groups and people that we work with, we're not focusing on making a safer pipeline or rerouting it through a more convenient route to skip certain landowners. We don't want any pipeline. We want to focus on fighting this pipeline at all steps. And while regulatory process might end up denying this pipeline, actually, in no way will these communities along this route allow this pipeline to happen. I think we've seen a lot of resistance across the country to these types of pipelines, including people putting their bodies on the line. And so I think our group and communities along the pipeline who have been fighting this for over a decade are not necessarily going to just rely on the regulatory process, but do everything they can to not just get a safe pipeline, but to defeat the pipeline in its entirety.
Which I think answers the next question. Would you feel any differently if this was an import project? I think it's a safe bet to say no.
No pipelines.
All right. And so Stacy Detweiler, same question for Rogue River Keeper. I mean, was there any difference of opinion based on import or export? Is it just a matter of the pipeline?
I think kind of Sid really covered this well. There's just a lot of concerns about its impact and the scale and how it would really just change Southern Oregon totally. I wanted to just skip back a little bit to the tsunami risk, because I think that is a really important part. Proposals to essentially really totally reshape Coos Bay, kind of dredging it out so these really large tankers that are importing or exporting the LNG, liquefied natural gas, can enter the Coos Bay estuary more easily. Also has the effect of kind of widening, deepening that channel and the potential to really push more water further up into the communities around that area. And I think that's a real concern, a real risk. I really hope that the governor and our state agencies really stand strong on that and really look into those potential effects.
What do any of you have to say about the reason that the folks in the Coos Bay area really want this, which is jobs? We're talking about dollars, millions of dollars coming into that community.
I think we've seen this before across the country, where pipeline companies and extraction companies come to rural working class communities and promise the stars, promise jobs, promise economic development, promise funding for their schools. But unfortunately, their promises always tend to fall pretty flat. Usually they don't produce a lot of long-term jobs for local people, but bring in outsiders to form short temporary contracts. And oftentimes those jobs will go away, especially after construction. And then I think these companies, as soon as the project ends or is no longer profitable, leave the area and take away their jobs, take away that economic development, and leave the area worse off than it was before, both economically and environmentally. We've seen this in places like West Virginia and the coal fields. Also, all the jobs and the economy that was based on a healthy environment, agriculture, fisheries, tourism, like all of those industries and those jobs suffer as well. So in the end, I think actually their promises of jobs and a boost in the economy isn't going to be as big of a promise as those communities would hope, and also in the end will result in a worse-off economy.
Susan Jane Brown at the Western Environmental Law Center, is there any legal strategy based on the precedent of FERC rejecting this before? I mean, bodies can change their minds. I mean, all the way up to the Supreme Court that happens.
Sure. Yeah, well, you know, certainly federal agencies can change their mind. There are legal requirements for when an agency does that, and basically it boils down to did you know that you were changing your position, and do you have a good reason for doing so, and did you show your work when you made that change in position? And so FERC will have to demonstrate that. I think it will be challenging to do so, given that the basic setup of the project, the terminal and the pipeline, have not changed. The route has been shifted slightly, but it still impacts hundreds of private landowners as well as hundreds and thousands of acres of public lands. And so there really hasn't been a change in the factual underpinning of this project. And so FERC, I think, will have a very difficult time saying, well, we just decided to change our mind because we have a new person in the White House. That's the hallmark of an arbitrary and capricious decision and would be legally vulnerable. So we feel confident that given all of the work that our partners have done over the past decade, that we will have to and will be successful in defeating this one more time. And hopefully this will be the last time.
Quickly, because we just have a few seconds left, any idea what the next event is, whether there's hearings, anything like that coming up soon?
Well, the next step really is the state is going to be evaluating permit applications, and then we expect the draft environmental impact statement either late this year or early next year. So we've got some time.
Okay. We'll keep our eyes out for the DEIS for the Jordan Cove project and the Pacific Connector Gas Pipeline. Susan Jane Brown's with the Western Environmental Law Center. Don Gentry is the chair of the Klamath Tribes. Sid Browning's with Southern Oregon Rising Tide. And Stacy Detweiler from Rogue Riverkeeper. Thank you all for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.